They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Okay. This is Sue Bartholomew, and you're on the Commons. And on the Commons today, I have someone who I nicknamed the Energizer Bunny. And we haven't had the Energizer Bunny on for a while, but he's here with us today. And for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, let me introduce you to the one and the only amazing Julio Robaina, former legislator and an amazing guy. Julio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sue, for the invitation. And we're here today to speak a little about sad situations in Florida and things that could have been prevented. But like always, thank you so much for the ability to speak to you and all your listeners.
Well, this is the third show in a row that we've done on this, because there are so many excuses that we have heard about what happened and why it happened and who's to blame. And I have some thoughts that may not be pointing the finger at anybody in particular, but we'll talk about those. I've been shut down, however you want to say it, a number of times for coming up with those. But you know me, I'm stubborn. I cling to my ideas. So Julio, you're in the middle of this. You're a former legislator, as I said. You now co-own a company, a management company. And you manage condos and HOAs, and so you're still working with them.
I am, and who would have told me that that the same people who asked me to run for office years ago and got me involved in the world of association living asked me when I was retired, I technically retired, to please consider helping them in the world of some type of help in the world of managing, simply because so many communities get run down here by property management companies and law firms. And well, here I am doing it. Although I am not the actual manager, I mean, we have my business partner, Mr. Jose Pazos. I do the government affairs, and I still work with the legislators to try to get more and more legislation passed to help the unit owners. But more important, I deal with fraud cases and things that have to do with the government here. And the shoe, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse.
Yeah, I know. I was always very jealous of Florida because they had you. And I know that you vowed that you would spend the rest of your life protecting the homeowners. And I thought,
and no, I have done just that.
I know you have. And I thought, now here's someone who's not just going to show up and write legislation, vote for legislation, pass legislation, and go on out the door, say bye-bye, have fun, good luck.
And you've promised, you've kept your promise, and you're still working on it. And for that, I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But again, Floridians need a champion, and unfortunately, there haven't been too many champions to champion the causes for those that live in associations.
You know, Julio, it's not just Floridians, it's the entire country, and we're even taking this garbage overseas to other countries and installing it there and having them, you know, it's the same people who are going to be making the money, no matter what country you're in and what part of the world you're in. But it's the same fraud and it's the same garbage. And it's really, really bad. I mean, it's a terrible thing. And I have always said that it's a fraud. I mean, the whole thing is a fraudulent. The whole thing is based on fraud.
It is. It is. And you know, I hate to be the gentleman who says I told you so, but as you know, we were being proactive and writing laws. I started in 2002 and wrote laws that even today could have saved a lot of lives with this disaster, this really sad and unfortunate situation we had in the town of Surfside here in Miami. And they have been removed, you know, through the legislature and other great, you know, provisions of law. It's almost like the one that told you, I told you so. Well, now everybody realizes that Robina was the one who told them so. They didn't take any of this stuff seriously. And for the past couple of weeks, my phone has been Grand Central Station, even with current lawmakers saying, what do we do now? Give us some of your ideas of what you did then. And I'm here. You know that I'm devoted. I'm involved. And we're going to talk about some of these things, some of these necessary changes to prevent another catastrophe like this from happening. But it's interesting how they now are all trying to pick my mind and requesting information on how we protect Floridians in the future so that we never have another one of these catastrophic situations. So, again, they claimed I was the guy who screamed wolf all the time, and now they realized that it was well-merited what I was screaming about, that these things needed to be addressed. So, no, according to a lot of newspapers, I had a crystal ball. I didn't have a crystal ball. I listened to people in Florida.
It was a no-brainer.
Thank you. It was a no-brainer. What a concept. All I had to do, travel around the state, have open forums, let people speak. They told us what their problems were, and they also gave us 90% of the solutions on what we can do in the form of changing the laws in Florida. What a concept, huh? Lawmakers listening to those who have the problem and at the same time listening to their ideas for solutions.
You used to come on the show and you used to talk about it. Every time you went around the state and you had meetings and you talked to people and you'd come on and you'd talk about some of the horrible, horrible stories that you heard from little old ladies who lost their homes because the association said they owed 75 cents. And I remember telling you once that you could find that kind of money in a couch under the cushions. You don't need to remove an old lady out of her home to collect 75 cents.
That's correct. And that is so true.
Yeah, no, you would come and when you would come on and you would talk about what you had done, that's when I called you the Energizer Bunny, because you never stopped.
I'm glad I have the energy, because God knows you got to have the energy to stay one step ahead of all this. I'm going to call it as it is here in Florida, this type of mismanagement, fraud, corruption that goes on in these associations.
Are you looking for ideas and these will never pass, Julio, but maybe if there's a genius in the world, you're going to be it. You know, they're looking at you saying you told us so.
Yeah, it's funny because now they know and they tell me, you know, you told them so. And I told them, yes, I did. But unfortunately, you told them so do not save lives, and all these innocent people did not have to die here in Florida.
No, but tell them, listen, you know I told you so. Listen to me. For once in your life, listen to me. HOAs don't work. Now you're going to have people say, yeah, I agree, HOAs don't work. And, you know, you can ban HOAs. Nobody's going to get too awfully excited about it. Well, yeah, the people who are, you know, who are getting it. But the thing is, Julio, you don't need them even in a condo.
The problem is that even though a lot of these communities, and I agree, a lot of these associations are useless and a layer of bureaucracy not needed for owners, you know why they exist and will continue to exist? Too much special interest, too much money involved, and too many people making a living off of it. So it makes it very tough to abolish things like this, Shu. That's the honest truth, probably in every state in America.
It is. And you know why? Just about every jurisdiction has a mandate. And you know why they have a mandate? Because they're getting double tax. Your government is taking property taxes from you and not providing you with the services that those property taxes were designed to provide you with. So you have to pay an association to pick up your trash, remove your snow if you have it, take care of your streets, provide street lighting, all of the things that property taxes were designed to provide you with.
Oh, and on top of that, Shu, the abuses that go on,
yes.
I have had to personally fight my association where I have a home and homeowner association, and I have spent over $10,000 of my own money fighting the association for access to documents, for records. I want to see what they're doing with the money and what they're doing, you know, with invoices and why board members are getting paid and why things are so highly inflated in the proposals that they submit. And I'm still, 2 years later, I'm still fighting them. So it's ridiculous. These are just struggles that are really unnecessary in these type of corporations, in this case, not-for-profits or, you know, being under a homeowner or a condo. Ridiculous that people have to spend money to get access to information on what's being done with your money and how it's being spent. It's terrible. It really is a terrible situation.
Can I tell you my story?
Sure, I would love to hear it.
I asked for some documents, not financial documents, but I asked for old minutes, and I was told I couldn't have them because I wasn't on the board. This was from the manager. So my response was, okay, that can be fixed. So I ran for the board.
There we go.
Eventually we got on the board. They campaigned very heavily against me. I did not make it. Eventually I got on the board because if I've set my mind to something, get out of my way. So board packets used to come to me with financial documents and minutes and, you know, all kinds of crap that board documents typically contain. And we had standing room only at the meetings. And the owners did not have access to that stuff, and they wanted to know what we were looking at. Do you know what I did, Julio?
I said,
you guys have as much right to see these documents as I have. So I handed my book over the table to the homeowners, and I said, let me have it when you're done with it. I'll need it. But right now during the meeting, please feel free to browse through it, to look at it, to follow the meeting. And the other board members are looking at me like, oh my God, has she gone absolutely batty? Yeah, I did. I went.
Oh, that's called transparency and respect. Transparency first, because you're letting them see what goes on. And number two, the respect that you have for people that own in that community. It's very important, but that's non-existent anymore. Well, hopefully that'll change real soon when we discuss some of the potential, you know, new ideas that are being kicked around, and I think these will pass. But Shu, that is disgusting that you had to do that, because I'm sure for a very long time they were asking questions like I'm sure owners of these buildings were asking for years, why wasn't this building's structural issues, why weren't they being addressed? Negligence, and then, of course, sometimes it's done maliciously. They don't want you to know what's really going on. So think about that. Besides, at times, you know, as I said, the unnecessary need for these evils, on top of that, when you have these what I call condo commandos and association commandos on there, it won't even give you public record to what they're doing.
They have
that's
to give
pretty,
it to
that's
you.
A pretty sad state of affairs. It really is.
They have to give it to you. Any board member who has anything should be responsible. I don't care what the association says. I don't care what the attorney says. I don't care what any of them say. The fact is that the homeowners have a right to the same access of information that you have. Give it to them. I did. I'm still alive. They haven't killed me yet.
Well, they respect you because you got, you know what you got? You got the ear of people that have been following you and listening to you the years. So you get a level of respect that unfortunately not the average person does.
This was
so
before.
No, they know better.
This was way before I started my radio show. When I did that, it was when I got my feet wet and started learning about HOAs. It's when I understood what was going on that I decided to start the radio show and make sure that people had, you know, gave them ideas, gave them knowledge, gave them information, had people like you come on and give them all that information, because no more hiding people behind closed doors. They've got to have accurate information. And, you know, it's a sad thing when people, even the world over, reach out to someone they don't know over the internet for information. They shouldn't do that.
Yes, and that is exactly how it continues to exist today. Hopefully, this tragedy, this catastrophe will bring some needed changes. And don't be surprised, you know, of maybe even the consideration of abolishing the unnecessary, you know, HOAs or condos that exist out there for one and one purpose only, which is, you know, it's just to maintain and touch and deal and manage people's money. When a lot of times I've seen communities that there's really been no need for any of this stuff at all. So I know we're going to get into details to talking about that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I wish I could come down and sit there and help you talk about it or listen to you talk about it.
It's a lot. And, you know, it's a lot of years. I got a lot of things to say, but more importantly, now we're in a stage where, again, the people that call me and I tell them, I told you so. Okay, now tell us what to do, Representative. What are we going to do now? So now
everybody's
turning over here and they want some ideas. They want answers. You know, we've been on every pretty much national syndicated show talking about how could this stuff have been prevented and so forth. But we'll start from there, Chu, and we'll discuss this.
You know, Julio, one of my things, and I've been thinking about this a lot, because as I told you, I come from a part of the world where everything, I mean, I never saw cardboard boxes for homes. I mean, that's absolute nonsense. But everything was made of reinforced concrete. Yes, they had stones put on top and it looked really pretty, and they'd carve the stones and the masons would come and cut them and it looked beautiful. But the actual structure, the actual physical structure, was reinforced concrete underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are still standing hundreds and in some cases thousands of years later. They're still standing, Julio. So why should a condominium, why should this tower collapse just for no reason?
Well, the first reason, before getting into the scientific part of it, because the scientific reasons vary. I mean, it's different opinions from different people that are structural engineers, architectural engineers, contractors. I've heard so many variations of what they think about that question. It's interesting. But I tell you what should not have been an issue or a question. is the responsibility of the boards of directors to maintain the structural integrity of these buildings. Let me repeat that. What should never be put in play or should never become an issue is the integrity or the number one responsibility a board member have, and that is to maintain the structural integrity of these buildings. What do I mean by that? It's not only the structural, because that's what we keep hearing about, how this building collapsed, but everything from the roofs to the parking areas to the elevators to whatever it is, if they have swimming pools, the common areas. That is their number one responsibility. And the biggest complaint we get is that people claim, we don't know what's being done with our money, but I tell you what, they're not maintaining the building. And here's when then negligence comes into play. So when the dust is settled, and I don't know if it's going to be months or longer, when now the scientific and structural engineers come up with what they think caused the building to actually tumble, way before that, we're going to know that a lot of that stuff, what we wouldn't be doing an investigation, what I'm trying to say, if the board members would have done their due diligence, and their number one responsibility is to make sure that that building was being maintained structurally safe. It wasn't. Negligence. There's already 5 lawsuits or more already filed for negligence against the board of directors. And Chu, here we go. So in Florida, these are volunteers. These are people that basically take a course, which is about a half a day, which they learn, but they don't learn how to be a board member and their responsibilities. And then they go back and try to do this. Some of them self-manage themselves. Some of them pay for the services of a property manager and an attorney that is versed in condo law. So let's talk about it. Where was the law firm and where was the property manager? I should have told these volunteers several years ago when the first report came out that they had some structural deficiencies. Wouldn't you think that common sense would tell that attorney and that property manager, say, hey, we need to investigate further. We don't have money. Let's get some money from the owners in the form of a special assessment and let's get it done. It wasn't done. Negligence reeks. And that is going to be, I think, the preliminary reason why this even happened. That building was not being given the maintenance and was not being inspected the way they should have had it inspected.
Okay, so they actually got engineers, they got people who know their job who came in and did the inspections and gave a report. I have been on the board. And being handed these things and told this is what needs to be done, and then being told, well, you can do this or you can do that, or you can do the other or you can do the other. But, you know, we're still looking at fixing what presumably is a problem. I'm not stupid. I've done some things in my life, so I've got a modicum of intelligence. But I don't know how to take care of an entire community like that. I don't. That's not what I trained. That's not what I learned. That's not what I did. So I have one person who says, we can fix it by doing this and it's going to cost X number of dollars. And somebody else says, we can fix it by doing that and it's going to cost X number of dollars. So all of a sudden you're getting all of this conflicting information. And you still have to make a decision, and you still have to assign allocate the funds to do whatever you decide to take care of. The fact is, when I say it's a flawed concept, that's what I mean.
Yes.
I'm not equipped, I'm not supposed to know all of that. Come to me
that's
with
correct.
Some medical stuff. I'm a former nurse. I was a surgical thing. And, I can do all of that. I don't know how to build a road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to use to replace a roof. And it's not that I'm a bad person, and it's not that I'm a stupid
nope.
person. I shouldn't be in that position. I should not be one making that decision.
And to make matters worse, Sue, it's worse when the association attorney and the property manager didn't even tell you. These are licensed people. These are people who know what they're doing, that you hired them to be the experts that you're not when you're a volunteer board member. And their recommendations are, well, don't worry about it. At 2 years down the line, you've got to do the certification for the 40 years. It's not a big deal. This is the stuff that goes on. And again, I'm not saying this is what happened. That has yet to be found. Already some board members are hinting that they were not well guided. They were not given the proper information by the lawyer and by the manager. But again, that leads to the next question. Should volunteers be at the helm of running something as complicated, as dangerous, and with the fiduciary responsibility that goes along with being a condominium, a corporation, and the safety of people? As you can tell, that's going to be something that's going to be an interesting debate for the legislative body when they take these issues up, because some people claim, well, we need to not allow volunteers to do it. We need to pay. And we're going to have to pay individuals to serve on these boards, like a licensed, you know, structural engineer, and probably a licensed type of maybe architectural engineer, professionals that have to do with the everyday running of the business. And on top of that, have a property manager that sits there and keeps oversight. So this is going to be a very interesting debate. But I agree with you that your volunteers are only as good as those that were hired professionals to guide them. It's almost as bad as if your car breaks down and you take it to a mechanic, and he tells you, you need a new carburetor, but you're not a mechanic. So I say, well, let me hold off. I'm fine. I can drive it. You know, and he goes off and the car breaks down a block later. You know, why wasn't that person told it won't last you another block? Just let's get it taken care of now. So I live in giving examples, but it's just really pathetic that when you're dealing with the safety of individuals, this thing's being treated like if you're a board member of your local bridge club or your local badminton club. That's ridiculous. And that is what causes problems for Floridians. Now everybody's uneasy. They're not feeling comfortable anymore living in these condominiums, and they're concerned about the future of their structures and their safety.
They should be. They should be very, very concerned. And you know what I want to do, Julio? I want to start the inspections. I want to start some oversight right from the very beginning, right when the first things come. I went and started doing some research on construction sites and construction things and looking at that. And apparently when, you know, you have to have certain kinds of term and whatever you're going to do, everything has got to be according to code. Everything has got to be built a certain way. You've got to use certain equipment, certain ingredients, certain, you know, it's like baking a cake. You know, you can't just go and take if you want to use stuff, you can't just go and take rice and throw it in and expect it to puff up like a cake instead of using flour and hoping that you get a cake at the end of it. You've got to use the right ingredients.
That's a very valid point. And the next thing is you're going to see the building codes change in Florida. But the question being asked by many is should Florida allow so much development on coastal areas? I mean, we understand that people want to retire from whatever state and come and look at the water and see a beautiful beach when you move to a condo in Florida. So it's probably every retiree's dream. Sunny Florida, let's come down. We'll retire in a condo with a beautiful view. But coastal areas come with a lot of issues. And the building codes definitely need to be addressed, because I'm going to give you an example. I'm not a scientist, but I do read reports that are done by the counties, by scientific groups that are talking about, as we all know, the tide has gone up. I mean, I know firsthand that water levels, salt water has gone up. We've got now water, salt water intrusion into our water aquifer. We also have King Moon, this king tide that goes up and water goes up higher than ever. The reports state that there is now, in the past several years, salt water where fresh water sat in our underground aquifers, in our water mantle, where buildings were built and the rebar went in and a certain type of concrete went in, and now it's sitting in brackish salt water. Some engineers say, it doesn't do anything. Last time I checked, salt water affects everything. I am not a structural engineer. I don't want to debate an engineer because I wouldn't know where to begin, and I respect their professionalism and education. But it doesn't take a brain surgeon to tell you that if there's salt and you're getting closer to the water every time you're building, that's an ingredient for disaster. So if the wishes of the elected bodies are to allow construction to continue in coastal areas, they're definitely going to have to revamp the building codes to deal with that. And I, you know, that's a fact, because ask anybody who's listening, if you own a condo on the water somewhere, whether you're on the ocean side or the Gulf side of Florida, look at your balconies. Even 5 years after you bought the place brand new, you'll notice that rebar starts to come out through the balcony. That concrete is chipping away. So if it eats it in the air, if solidity eats it in the air, you can imagine when it's underground and it's buried. I'm a very common sense layman's term person, and I've spoken to contractors, and they basically say, well, you know the answer to the question. Of course, if you stick rebar and a certain type of concrete into the ground, it's definitely going to corrode. Could that have been what weakened the actual towers? Could that be a situation that's coming now? All of a sudden, we're going to see more of these because the salt water has risen in the state of Florida. It's into our aquifers. Remember, our sea level here is very low, so they have to normally dig deeper than what we have for a coral rock foundation. There's some of the scientific issues and reports that we've read that I know are going to now bring changes to the building codes. And of course, they're going to now start creating ways to test these older buildings by boring and doing certain types of exams to see how that foundation is underneath us here in Florida.
I think, and that's basically, I guess, what I was talking about in terms of starting with the oversight right from the very beginning, because you push the, look, as I said earlier, I come from a part of the world that has a lot of this stuff, and they've been sitting around for hundreds and thousands of years. So it's sure absolutely possible to do that, but what's the difference? What happened here that doesn't happen over there? They have salt water. The Mediterranean's a salt sea. It's not an ocean. It's a salt sea.
I think it's called shortcuts. Here, developers get away with murder, even when the turnover is given. There's turnovers, and that's the time when a developer has sold the majority or a certain percentage of their building, and they finally turn it over to the board of directors. Developers walk away when it's sold, and a lot of them turn it over without any reserves, no reserve study, nothing for a rainy day in case the work that he did goes south. Now these individuals are stuck with another bill on repairing what may have been an unforeseen, problem that occurs, certain years after. Of course, you can't hold a developer responsible for something the entire life of the building, but at least a substantial, first 4 or 5 years, that's not even being done. But the difference between overseas, and they got it right, is probably the way that they go about it, the type of materials that they use. I'm sure their building codes, we can learn a thing or two on how to do it. But you got to understand that here, developers nowadays, I'm actually seeing building right on the beach. You're literally on the sand. How that got approved, only one person can answer that question. Ask your local elected officials how that happened.
You know, you're absolutely right. You've got an absolutely great point over there. And I forgot my point of view. I had a great point. But the codes are coming from They're international codes, and I don't know where they're coming from, but they're not specific to Florida, to Virginia, to anywhere else in the U.S. And I think you need to do that because everything is different everywhere else. If you look at the housing and the building, the difference between what's being built here and what's being built overseas, if you were to build a house in my hometown, it would take you years, literally years, to get that house. There's a whole development that just went out outside of where I'm sitting right here in the studio talking to you. And I call it cardboard and scotch tape. I mean, it's like within days, this housing goes up and people are moving in. And it's
sure, not, I witnessed some of this stuff going on in Florida. You know, it's funny because we had these really strict building codes down in South Florida because we're known for hurricanes down here in the Miami-Dade County, Monroe County, which is our Keys, and Broward. But so houses had to be built out of, you know, CBS block, and they had to have certain types of roofs. Then just skedaddle right up the state of Florida where the capital is, Tallahassee, Florida. And the houses there are still being built out of wood, press board, and then wrapped in tar paper and covered.
Right.
And tell me what that is. It took them not long when these hurricanes, as you can see nowadays, may start down here on the bottom part of Florida, but they end up going through the middle of the state and up the state. And then these paper doll houses, as I call it, that had for some reason different building codes are being wiped out. And oh, my God, now they realize.
Yeah.
The building code should have been the same for the entire state of Florida. Who makes those decisions? Your elected body.
I don't know who makes the decisions, but whoever it is has got to have rocks in their heads because that is wrong. The buildings that were built that I grew up, it literally took years to build. So you'd buy a house and you'd wait for years and years and years to get in. We survived waiting. We survived the wait. It's not, you don't have to be in it tomorrow or next week, you know, and then you have something blow through it.
And that's not how it works here. As you know, you'll see a piece of land develop, and literally within a year, it'll have 40, 50 new homes on it.
A year.
And they're already selling.
A year. It's within days.
it's pretty sad. But so if that's the way it is for a single family home, you can imagine, I've seen condos go up in the period of 8 months, multi-floors, and that's scary. But again, the building codes, the developers are not doing anything wrong. They're following building codes. You know, occasionally you do have inspectors that are paid for and bought, and they sign off on stuff that really structurally should not have been, you know, passing inspections and stuff. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But again,
but there ought to be consequences for people who do that.
They are arrested. They're charged with criminal. They have criminal charges filed against them, but I guarantee you they don't catch enough of them doing. And again, here we go. It takes a catastrophe like this to now bring attention to everywhere. I mean, we recently in the city of Miami got a letter from all of a sudden after this tragedy in Surfside, a letter arrives from the city of Miami that everyone's got 45 days to hire a structural engineer and recertify, you know, thousands of buildings. That's ridiculous. There's not enough structural engineers here to do that work. So you understand these knee-jerk reactions that are basically, they're a political ploy to win brownie points so you can stand in front of a camera and say, look what I'm doing. I'm taking care of you. But it's not being done. Ridiculous. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are buying into it, but they're not anymore when they saw all the deaths that came along with this tragedy. So it's really got to stop. But I do believe that, remember, in our state, these are state issues that are addressed.
Yeah.
These are the state lawmakers that have to decide building codes and condo statutes and laws and homeowner associations and laws. But due to this catastrophe, I always try to see what, if anything, is positive about a sad situation like this. And I found one thing. is that all of a sudden, now you got the state having to do their thing, but now you got the county governments involved in it, you got the city governments involved in it, and more importantly, you got the federal government looking into this. So we got more eyes on them now than ever, and they're going to have to do the right thing. I'm just interested to see who will have the guts to come out and lobby like they would do against my stuff when I was around, and lobby against good common sense legislation to prevent these things from happening again. And I guarantee you there will be some that will be paid dearly special interest groups to lobby against good common sense legislation.
Yeah, well, we can't, you know, this shouldn't be allowed to happen. This is a big, huge black mark on American construction. You know, guys, the world's watching this. I'm hearing from friends and people, and they say, oh, my God, that is terrible. Yes, it's terrible. It's never happened in other countries. I don't remember ever having a building like this collapse in anywhere where I lived. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just saying I don't remember it.
You know that when it happened, Shu, a lot of people thought it was a terrorist act because you have a lot of Jewish families and families of other religious beliefs. Look how far they went because nobody could fathom how could this happen with our society with the supposed building codes. And now this couldn't have been a structural problem. This couldn't have been somebody's error. This must have been some type of terrorist act. And it wasn't. We're just realizing this is a series of mistakes that have been accumulating throughout the years and not addressed. And again, final outcome, we lost a lot of wonderful people that lived in our community that had no idea that their last day was coming. So we got a lot of provisions and stuff that we're talking about. But I one of the most important things that I'm proud of is that I tried to do this in 2009, and they wouldn't let it pass. I was trying to create the first ever condo fraud or association fraud task force, and it was shot down. The bill would not – the same people that would fight – the same law firms and the property management companies did not want us to have an investigative arm, as I call the check and balance, to see when these type of frauds, negligence problems were being – were taking place. And now all of a sudden I got calls. I think you'll see my idea that I was never able to pass in 2009 will now become a reality. I think you'll see the first ever condo fraud task force. And what are we doing with that? Picture the same way that you see the federal government when they investigate Medicare fraud, or the state investigates Medicaid fraud. If they have a group, sometimes they're FBI agents that show up at a place with their badges around their neck, and you see on their news that they're hauling out boxes of records in the computers. Well, guess what? We're going to have something just like that, and I guarantee you that's going to send chills, you know, through people's spine that they think they can continue to do what they're doing here, not with another check and balance. In the state of Florida, has a division that regulates it, but it's more administrative and it's more like a slap in the hand and don't do it again or we'll hit you with a fine, but nothing to deal with the fraud component. And I always tell lawmakers, we can make up and pass 1,000 laws, but if you don't have the enforcement leg of it, what good is it?
Yeah.
That would be like having things. People don't understand that you need the enforcement arm. And of course they've lobbied against the enforcement arm. Well, I think it's their day is coming. All those that lobbied against this fraud task force have got a big surprise coming because I've already talked to a senator, and she's already found a representative, and this bill's going forward. Might even be a special session that they do here to deal with that and the reserves and the turnovers from developers and strict enforcement. And another issue that's going to have to be addressed is property insurance, because now the insurance companies are using this as a reason to dump their policies. They don't want the risk anymore. So that's a whole nother subject matter right there.
Oh, wow. I had not heard that one.
Yeah, there's already letters that have been received by certain condos here and so forth, being told that that the insurance provider is now wanting proof of some type of inspection or the 40-year certification. Because remember, the 40-year certification is only for Dade and Broward County. The rest of the state does it in a different way. They're not required a 40-year certification. But the insurance companies, as soon as that tragedy happened, they're sending forward requests for certain inspections for proof that their buildings are structurally sound. And if they're not, they're dropping the policies. And you can imagine what that means for the renewals for Floridians when these when the new round of insurance policies come around after this catastrophe. It's going to be another issue that's going to have to be addressed. So it's so many variables that are affected by things like this. But again, I told them so.
Do you wish you were a legislator?
No. Right now, I wish I were, but just long enough to redo all this, because I think I'd have the support and the ear of everybody. And I think that I would actually be able to even point out by name who the actual law firms are that are lobbying against good legislation and so forth. Not that I didn't do it in the past, because I sure did mention a lot of them by name, and I got threatened to be sued many times, but it would be much easier for me to get the people's ideas turned into law. Notice what I called it, the people's ideas.
Yeah.
Because again, as I said at the beginning of the show, none of this stuff I came up with. I went around and heard what people said the problems were, and I listened to them, and they gave me 90% of the solutions. And that's what we did. Everything from fraud, everything that their buildings were not being given the proper maintenance, that there was no access to their records, that there was nothing where there was no transparency, that the building certifications took too long, on and on and on. If I was a sitting lawmaker right now, I guarantee you it would be much easier for me to get these things done by, again, using the people's information, their report, and all their comments, at the hundreds of comments that we got throughout the state of Florida. So I think we would be able to do a lot more. But again, politics, as we know nowadays, Shu, I don't want to be in the center of that. It's gotten so nasty and so ugly.
It is nasty.
Yeah. So people like me, that I consider myself more of a public servant, even though I'm labeled a politician, because I am an elected official, it was never me. Now, you better learn how to be a first-class politician, because I think the days of being a public servant are gone.
I just loved your idea of going around the entire state and meeting with people. You were absolutely loved by your constituents, not by the bad guys.
Guys didn't like us. Our opposition hated us, and they tried to take us out of office, and they gave money. And, you know, this is where I always mention our good friend, Jan Bergman. Jan has got videos of our hearings where I've had to subpoena attorneys for associations to give documents. And I mean, I'd need 3 hours to tell you the type of cases that we took on in the midst of another a committee which I chaired and went forward and tried to help people that had problems where these associations were going south on them, and just so many issues. But I mean, thank God that somebody listened to Floridians, that they not only were willing to come out, because we'd get sometimes 300-400 or more people to come out of school in the morning, and we were there all day, and they were getting 5 or 10 minutes to speak. And I never knew so much went on, but we found the commonality of many problems all around the entire state of Florida, coastal areas and non-coastal areas. We found out, wow, it's happening here. So I guess it is a common problem. I mean, thank God that some people still listen to their voters and their residents. And that's how we came together with this idea. Anybody that takes credit for all of this is not being honest. Everything that we did was as a result of what people told us the problems were and what needed to be done to resolve them. What a concept, huh? listen.
The problems were, you heard from the Floridians, your constituents, they told you, but you know what? The problems repeat themselves over and over and
over and over.
All over the country, from every state to every state. Why? Because you have a common group of people who are beneficiaries to this scam, basically. And they're the ones who twist and sign. You said listen to your attorneys. I was sitting there trying to learn from the attorneys when I first got involved in this, and they were giving out false information. And I, a brand new newbie, told them, hey, that is wrong. And they said, that's wrong.
And shame on that. And again, I will tell you that the supermajority of condo attorneys are good, honest people that have integrity, but there's such a large group of them that, you know, they're trying to make that almighty buck as fast as they can. But most importantly, they're putting the integrity of that association or that community at risk when they give bad legal information, sometimes maliciously intended, wrong legal information, because they're looking at their long-term existence of how long am I going to be here? Well, I need to make sure that this board stays around here regardless. And as we said earlier, they don't want to put these people in harm's way, so they'd rather basically give them wrong information at times. And finally, there's no excuse for property managers. They're sworn to an oath. They are supposedly the people who will drive the train, not sit in the back and push the cars over the edge. That's what happens.
Julio, do you know that we're out of time?
It doesn't surprise me, Sue, because when we get rolling, you and me have a passion for this. And I would, again, I my time with you goes quickly, very quickly. But I'm glad to come back since now we're in the midst of this situation and discuss what some of these changes will be. And maybe, you know, people will learn in their states if we finally get some things right here in Florida.
You let me know. I want you back on. Let me know what's going on. Let me know what ideas you have. And I would love, love, love to have you back on. I enjoy having you. You're fun. You're fun to listen to. You're fun to talk to. And you're just plain as fun. And so I love it.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.